Good evening, folks. It's a joy to be here again this evening. We've been doing a fair amount of traveling. Seems like we've put on around 8,000 miles in the last 4 or 5 weeks in the car out there. And it was just as good as when we received it. We enjoyed having the car to be renewed. We bring greetings from Jeanette and Brian up in Bismarck, North Dakota. That's sort of like Siberia out there. I'll tell you now, it was minus 24 degrees one morning there. And that is cold. You don't ever drink cold water. By the time you get it to your mouth, it's frozen. So you always have coffee and tea. And they're doing very well. They're looking forward to the Lord's leading in their lives as well. They have approached the elders of the assembly there in regard to full-time service, and particularly more in Africa, so you can remember them in the prayer time. It could be that they will be coming this way in August to stop in for a little visit for a couple of days and just to say hello and meet some of their key folk as well. We have a lovely little daughter by the name of Anna Ray. She's doing fairly well and she doesn't spit up, but other than that, she's you have to be quick on the draw, right, Pat? We're planning, Lord willing, to leave in the morning for New Jersey. We were planning sort of to go on Tuesday, but they asked if we wouldn't come a day earlier for a missionary conference in Kenilworth, something that the folks in New Jersey do every month. And it seems that they don't have any missionaries there for this month, and so they would ask if we couldn't come down for tomorrow night, because they needed a real-life missionary. And so we're planning, Lord willing, to pack our goodies and leave in the morning. And we'll be down there for a few days, two or three, I suppose, and then on up and go and see Mark's parents up in Vermont, another cold part of the country. I don't know why in the world he hails from there, but that's where Mark Plaza comes from. And then on down back to return the car back to its owner, to my brother-in-law. And then back on down to Seminole. I don't think we'll be going out west. We do not have the time, and it is quite expensive. Even though my mother and dad and son would like to see us out there again, I don't think we'll be able to make it there, perhaps in a couple of years' time. And so it looks like that the second or third week, possibly the second week of March, we'll be heading back towards that year. Do we have anybody that wants to go with us? Just put your hands up. We can, I see, yes, right. Okay, Audrey, we'll work on that. We're going back with a good outlook, a refreshed approach. Coming home is always refreshing, seeing the people and your smile. And going back can be fun to see Frank Mark again. They'll be coming on their time of vacation, the 1st of April, coming home with us for a month, and then going on back to Redian, getting back into the work. We sort of are looking forward to the literature work again. You might not believe this, but I found a clipping in the paper the other day. By the year 2000, now this is America we're talking, by the year 2000, 2 out of 3 Americans could be illiterate. That doesn't seem possible, does it? We all know how to read and to write. And we're talking about a civilized country. It's true today, 75 million adults, about 1 American in 3, can't read adequately. U.S. News and World Report envisions America with literacy rate of only 30% by the year 2000. That's something to think about. Well, we're going back to Africa and beginning the literature work there, and there is illiteracy there. However, they are going to schools and are learning to read, and we find this a real blessing. Not only that, we'll be going out on Sundays and giving out the word in Swahili. I like the quote John 3:16. It's the only one I really know very well by heart, and perhaps there's some here tonight who've not heard our version of Swahili from the central part of Africa. It goes like this. In English, it's, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Well, in Swahili, we say it like this. "Sababu mungu alitendea mungu, hivi ndivyo alikupa mwana wake Mungu aliyepeke, hata mtu kama mimi asipotee lakini apate uzima wa milele." Now that's rather simple, isn't it? God loved the world. And we enjoy speaking with Swahili and getting into these folks out in Africa. We're looking forward to this, Peg and myself, my wife and myself, going out on Sundays and getting off the road. And there's other jobs we'll be doing. We're kind of busy. So anytime any folks want to come along, we can give you something to do. Translate for you. You all do. Think about joining us on a visit. Maybe a friend of here will get behind one or two of you and help subsidize your trip out there and see what we're doing firsthand. I think this is important. We'll be here today and I'll be hearsay. And you can come back with a true report. Maybe a glowing report. Maybe not such a glowing report. And you can come back with some kind of report. The thing to consider, they do this nowadays. There are quite a few that do visit just on a short time. Minister to us and to the African brethren. Remember, that might be a challenge for new people. I've enjoyed traveling around, and we've been doing quite a bit of it. While I'm driving my Cadillac, I sometimes give Peg a little map to read. And I don't know about the rest of you women, but quite often she has a hard time reading maps. We'll be going down the interstate, and here we go, a choice to make. I'm generally it's the wrong choice. We'll have to work on that. We'll just see what we're talking about. Really, I was enjoyed this past week. Went out two or three times for lunch with some of the fellows here, Brad and Paul Stryker there. And you can just see Paul in these restaurants around here. Really good places to eat. And it comes time for dessert time. And I'll tell you, there's coconut cream and banana cream. Now there's a choice you have to make. Which one will he take? A choice. In God's Word, there are places where we find people had to make a choice. And we want to look at some of those this evening. Two or three or four places where people made a choice. Young people, looking around to those of your acquaintances and trying to come up with a choice in life. And I recommend marriage wholeheartedly. And sometimes it's difficult to know the right choice, isn't it? God leading in your life. But there's a choice to be made, a decision to be made. So we turn to Genesis chapter 13. A well-known question of Scripture, but let's look at it again. It doesn't hurt us to refresh ourselves a little bit. Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1. Genesis 13, verse 1. And Abram went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him, into the south. And Abraham was very rich in cattle and in silver and gold. And he went on his way, on his journeys from the south, even to Bethel, and a place where his tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Hai. Honor the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And Lot Abram called on the name of the Lord. And Lot also went with him. With Abram had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was a strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle. And the Canaanites and their Perizzites dwelled in the land. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdsmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate yourself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent towards Sodom. But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look unto the place where thou art, northward and southward and eastward and westward. for all the land that thou seest to thee, I will I give it unto thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk the land in the length of it, and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. A choice was made in this portion of scripture that we have read. Abram and Lot, men that were very, very, very wealthy. And I enjoy verse 4. Now Abraham had left and gone down into Egypt, someplace where everybody he might not should have gone. He left in Egypt. A place that perhaps he should not have even ventured into. And Abraham is coming now out of Egypt. He had difficulty down there. And I was amazed over there, a fellow in North Dakota spoke on Isaac, and Isaac was specifically told not to go down into Egypt. Maybe Abraham was too, we don't know, it's not recorded. Perhaps it could be. But that was not a place of blessing for him. And now he has come up out of Egypt, come back to the place where he started from prior to this. And what does he do verse 4? And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. I like that. Turning to the Lord. We have a long trip ahead of us. Upon our arrival, that might be a good thing for us to do, is to turn again to the Lord. I know we do that daily. Abraham called on the name of the Lord. What about Lot? What about Lot? Here these people had a lot of wealth. And their workmen could not get along together very well. That's quite common, isn't it? Isn't it difficult sometimes for us to get along with other folks? We find that on the mission field. Sad to say, we're human. And sometimes it's difficult for couples to get along, or single ones to get along, or whatever. And it's rather a difficult situation you find yourself in, because where do you turn? You're on a mission station. You and your wife and a single lady or a single man or another couple, and these are your friends. You have no other outside neighbors. You have to get along, and it's difficult. Abram and Lot found the same situation. Here they are all by themselves. They're the Canaanites and Perizzites and other folks, strangers. And the men, their people, their workmen, their herdsmen could not get along. Well, Abram said to Lot, let's don't have problems. We're family, we're kinfolk. Let's don't have disagreements. Let's work together. Lot, if you want to go to the right hand, I'll go to the left. If you want to go to the left hand, I'll take the right. Now that was a very generous thing for Abram to say. A very gentleman way of saying things. I might not have had quite that tact. Maybe I would have told him to get lost, right? Lot looks around. And he's for himself a little bit. Not I condemn Lot. Maybe we would have done the same thing. Maybe I would have done the same thing. Look down the valley and sees that well-watered plain. The plain of Jordan. There in Zaire, we're living on the edge of the Rift Valley. Some leaky valley. And it's a beautiful valley. As you look down in that valley and you see some leaky river down in there, and the tropical forest and part of it and grass on and the rest. It looks like a lush place to be. Here we are stuck up on a hill. It's windy and it gets rainy up there. Hard to get water. I don't know why they choose mission stations up on top of hills. Really, I don't know what's wrong with you folks, but there we are. Lot looks down in that valley and he sees this lovely plain of Jordan. He says to Abram, he says, I'll take that. I'll go down there. And Lot goes downhill, doesn't he? And Lot pitches tent and he lived near Sodom. Oh, I think that's where he ran into trouble. It's so easy to be pulled along, to be tugged along with the quote world, isn't it, young people? It's so easy to get into those crowds of people, those friends, boys and fellows and girls, and be pulled along, and all of a sudden outside this sphere of the Lord's blessing. because of course they are friends. A lot of them are in Sodom, near Sodom, outside of Sodom, maybe in the city limits, maybe in the village limits. When he pitches his tent there, he could have been going downhill, he must have been. Oh, that we might not be tugged outside of our own sphere, that we might worship the Lord daily, that we might have contact with fellow Christians, fellows and girls, men and women, and not have that happen to us that we get pulled along and find our lives ruined. Oh, I'm 19, I'm 15, I'm 25. I know how to take care of myself. Do you? The world is strong. Satan is very much alive today. Alive and well, as we often say. Lot lived near Sodom. He pitched his tent down there. Abram, where did he go? Verse 18. And Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron. Mamre, that place of fatness. Hebron, that place of blessing. And if you read verses 14, 15, and 16, and 17 again, you'll find out that he was really blessed. He was really blessed by the Lord, by his God, by our Father. What about Lot? Here Lot entered Sodom with all of these cattle and all of these things. And holds them all. He goes down to this place called Sodom and he stays there, we don't know how long, a few years possibly. And why does he leave there? The shirt's on his back. Poor people. Now who are the herds? Now who are the cattle? Now who are the herds? And they're not. We don't read about them. He left with his wife and two daughters. That wasn't really a place of blessing, was it? Joining in with the world and finding ourselves on the outside. That well-watered plain. And left with nothing. A number of years ago, our friend Idi Amin, some of them call him Idi Amin, ruled Uganda, our lovely country of Uganda. Kevin and I have been there many times, flown in and out of Entebbe, right outside of Kampala. Years on end, he takes over. He does a fairly good job. He took over Obote, and they needed a change, no doubt, in government. Wasn't long, though, before he forced out the Asians. All the Asians, the Indians that come across the Indian Ocean from India into East Africa, settled a lot of them in Uganda. Very prosperous people. People that really were well in the business community. The merchants of the place, commerce, well-to-do. And here they were told to go home. No, they weren't citizens. Was Lot a citizen? They were told to go home, get out, leave. And they left with nothing. Taking a suitcase to the airport and on the way a barrier stopped and the suitcase and all confiscated. They had nothing when they left Uganda. And this is not very long ago. Lot was on and left with nothing. Outside of God's blessing. Oh, that we might continue on with the Lord and with the Lord's people and with His Word. Perhaps Lot made the wrong choice. Perhaps Lot did not do gone where he should have gone. Maybe he should have gone to the left. Maybe he should have gone to the right. Maybe he shouldn't have gone straight ahead down into the valley. Perhaps someday we'll know the answers to some of these questions. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 2. Exodus chapter 2 verse 5. Moses, I enjoy the stories of Moses, the history of Moses. What a man he must have been. What a beginning he had. Exodus chapter 2 and verse 5. And the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, and the maidens walked along by the river's side. And when she saw the ark among the flags, she sent her maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the babe wept. And she had compassion on him and said, this is one of the Hebrew's children. named Pharaoh's sister to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call to you a nurse of the Hebrew women, that she may nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." And the maid went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said unto her, "Take this child away and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." And the woman took the child and nursed it. And the child grew. And she brought him into Pharaoh's daughter, and he, Moses, became her son. And she called his name Moses. And she said, "Because I drew him out of the water." Here is a little infant, a little baby, born in peculiar circumstances. Rather, I might say, difficult circumstances for that day. You know the old story, you know the story as well as I do, how the young babies were to be put away, were to be killed, if you might say, because the Egyptians were afraid the Israelites gained too much population, and sometimes someone's going to attack Egypt, and if we're not careful, these Israelites will turn against us Egyptians, and we'll be in no problem. And Moses was born about that time and put in a basket and laid down in the riverside, this great, no doubt, Nile River, the headwaters of the Nile down there in Central Africa, not far from where we are. Lovely river, runs north, one of the longest rivers in the world. Beautiful fish in that river, we call it capitan or Nile perch. And it's really fish to eat, if you enjoy fish. And here's this little baby in a little basket in this Nile River, and Pharaoh's daughter must have been looking fairly well. She stopped this little basket there. When she saw the ark of the basket amongst the flags, she sent a maid to fetch it. You know, we here in this country, we go around and do our things, and we miss an awful lot. We're not geared to using our eyes to seeing different things, most of us, that is. My dad, I probably shouldn't say this, but we were just married on a honeymoon, Peg and I, and we were on one of the sure one of their stops there to eat some lunch, and nobody knew where we were going, of course. And we were there enjoying ourselves the next day. My dad walked into this crazy restaurant as we're sitting down there at this table eating. He only has one eye, you know, and that one eye went around, he spotted us clear across the room before we could even hide. And we thought of like we'd gotten caught, you know. We don't really notice things in this day and age. But the African folk out there in Africa, that's their life, their eyes, their hands, their feet. They're very alert. And they have tremendous vision. And they can see things and tell us about things. They can see an animal walk here and this did that and something else there. It's amazing what they can notice. And perhaps this is the way it was with Pharaoh's daughter going down to the riverbank. And trained to use their eyes to see things that we wouldn't even be tell us noticeable. She finds this basket there. And being of the royalty, she sent her maid to go and get it, and when they'd opened it, they found this little baby there. A nice-looking little baby. I enjoy our grandchildren. We have some of the nicest-looking grandchildren you'll ever find around. We grandparents always do enjoy our grandkids. Here's this little baby. Probably hungry by now. Who knows how long it had been there, Moses? In the basket. And of course, you know the story how that Moses' sister was there right at the spot and went and got her mother, and her mother took care of her own child for a time. And Pharaoh's daughter took Moses in as her own son, verse 10. And he became her son. Royalty! A son of a king! A son of a Pharaoh! How would you like to be a king? How often do you wonder what that would be like? To be a king! Alive king over some domain. We often in the African countries get these emperors for life, and next year they're overthrown, and didn't work too much. But a king that sits on the throne, we don't have to be in the world today now anymore. Remember when the king of the Belgians came to Africa a number of years ago, Belgian Congo used to be a colony of Belgium in colonial times before 1960. Here this king, a young fellow like myself, I was young at the time. The king of the Belgians, the Belgians, big man, came through the city of domain. We saw him from a distance. That was really of interest. What his life was like, a public figure all the time, wealth, never needs anything, no problems. Not even any leaking faucets in the bathroom, right, Dad? Be a king. Well, Moses had the chance to be Pharaoh's son. Perhaps even an heir to the throne, who knows? But Moses made a choice. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Moses made a choice. And a very good choice. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 24. Hebrews 11:24. By faith Moses, when he has come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. He didn't want to be a lot. He wanted to be an Abram. Fellows and girls tonight, are you willing to be an Abram? Are you still plodding along that path of Lot? Going down and down and down. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. You know, you can suffer too for the Lord's sake. It cannot be always easy, a simple matter. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And I don't know if I can say that enough, young people. The Hebrews words of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Choosing rather than to be with the people of sin, the pleasures of sin. Moses made a real choice. To leave life alone, perhaps. To leave all of that inheritance. To leave all of his name, style, and to be one of his own. A real choice he made. To the glory of God. And I often think of Livingston and Stanley. I think I've mentioned them a number of times when we've been here. Livingston and Stanley, explorers of years ago, before the turn of the century. You can go through Central Africa where we are, and you can see where Stanley has been. You can see what places he has left. We've been up a mountain called Lumbu in the African language. He named it Pisgah. Climbing up that mountain to overlook the grass, because we've been in the forest for days and weeks and months, and we're sick of it. And climb that mountain and look out over that grass country, no more forest, no more trees. And he said it looks just like the promised land, and he called it Pisgah. Stanley must have been a man of God. He must have been a man of the Word. There's a place there where they had to fight and to protect themselves called Fort Bodo. And you can still to this day, after 100 years, see the mounds of dirt where they build up the mounds, entrenchments, and get behind that to protect themselves. And Livingston going on out there to find family and so on. You folks know the history. And Livingston, leaving all, Livingston was from a wealthy family. And he was able to suffer than to have these pleasures for a season. Another man of God, Livingston. Well, Moses is a real good example for all of us. Let's turn another one, ladies. Let's have one for you. Another one on Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. How about another choice? Luke chapter 10 and verse 38, only 3 or 4 verses. Luke chapter 10 and verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, this is our Lord, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving, and came to him, our Lord, and said, Lord, Dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Neither therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many, many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. Mary hath chosen that good part, which shall not be taken away from her. First of all, I'd like us to notice the open house attitude here. A home that was opened up to our Lord and perhaps His disciples and others following along. And it's a great thing to open up your homes. Not all of us can. But many of us can open up our homes to different ones, even strangers. And I mentioned to you before about that family there in Hooton, and we were sitting eating lunch in a place, and the family were over there, and they bowed their heads and they gave thanks for the food, and I leaned over and I said, well, we don't see this too often, fellas, lady and gentleman, their server. You know, the Lord just said, yeah, they were born again, and so on and so forth. And you know, by saying that if we didn't have a place to stay, we were welcome in their home that evening. And I had never met them before, and they had never met me, and yet, open up their house for us. I think that's really a lovely Christian attitude. A gift to open up their house. Mary and Martha, two sisters, and they received our Lord into their home. And Martha had a sister called Mary that sat at Jesus' feet and heard His word. Oh, that's the place to be, isn't it? At the feet of our Lord, sitting at His feet, humbling herself. I often think of the Muslims. They put us to shame, these Muslims, out there in Central Africa, they're all over East Africa, North Africa. 3 times a day, if not more, they get down with their prayer mats and face towards the east, toward Mecca somewhere. And go through their ritualism. It doesn't matter where they are, who's watching. And carry on their type of worship. Puts us to shame, doesn't it? We even shy away from being thanks out in the restaurant. Mary sat at our Lord's feet and heard His word and listened to Him. But Martha. Martha had an awful lot to do. She might have been another Dorcas. We spoke on Dorcas the last time we were here. And there are many Dorcases right here amongst us. Many of you ladies are ladies of, that really do things and commendable. Tremendous. Here's a Martha. She's worried about Mary sitting at Jesus' feet. Martha's doing the work. Peeling the potatoes. Spreading the rice out on the counter and filling out the rocks. Do you like rice with rocks in it? You grow rice out there, rice is gone, and so they beat it in the morning, test it all out and flip it and all, and it just rocks in it. And you have it for cereal in the morning. You learn not to dig with your spoon too deep to leave the rocks, they settle down and just leave them there, lay. The thrill of her rock. And there is Martha, pulling out the rocks out of the rice. Getting the chicken, putting them out and getting their heads cut off and pulling out the feathers. You ever done that? You don't do that nowadays. What's cooking? No, no, it's not what's cooking. It's what's farm. That's what they do nowadays. When I was a boy, we had chicken farming, and we did a lot of dressing of chickens. And Martha, she's taking off the feathers, and she's showing the peas, and maybe she's drying the heat, or sifting the flour, trying to get out those extra vitamins. You know, you don't use a sifter. The sifter just cuts the heads off. You use a silk stocking. I think I mentioned that before. Anyway, you get the protein out of the stocking. Martha had a job. She done a good job. But Mary sitting there listening to our Lord. And our Lord says she has chosen a good part. A choice Mary had to make. She has chosen a good part. To sit at our Lord's feet. Don't you care? Our Lord cares for each one of us. Well, time is gone. There's another one, Joshua. Joshua calling out of his people to go to the smaller gate. I remember speaking at our Rift Valley Academy at the commencement exercise in Calgary. graduated. And that was a small and a great, and it was a shaking experience. All kinds of people. Collars, frontwards, and backwards, and sideways. Now Chip from Chubby's IU is speaking to these folks, and Joshua is speaking to the small and the great. This is what God says, fear the Lord. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And that's a statement, isn't it? And to carry it out. Oh, to get the job done. You know, there are three kinds of people. I was walking around Bismarck, and we went in the Ben Franklin store they have up there, and I found on this little plaque that there are three kinds of people. Those who make things happen. That's a good kind of a person. There are a lot of them right here today. Those that make things happen. And then there are those who watch things happen. Well, are we there here today? Those that watch things happen? And then there's a third kind of people, and maybe that's some of us too, those that wonder what happened. What category do you fall in? Getting on with God's work. For me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I would like to leave you with one verse. That's in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 7. With goodwill, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. It's a good thing for us to notice, isn't it? With goodwill, doing service, as to the Lord and not to men. In other words, put it, serve wholeheartedly. As if you were serving the Lord, not men. Read that one more time. Serve wholeheartedly. 110%. As if you were serving the Lord and not men. You know, we'll get on the job, on with the job, and we'll be there serving the Lord with our households, won't we? We won't be a lot down there going the wrong direction, being caught in with this world's activities. Perhaps even be a Moses who's willing to take the difficult route to the glory of God. We will even be a Mary to sit at Jesus' feet. We don't have people bicker. There'll be some Moses doing a very essential job. It has to be done. We had a little bit of complaining. I want to be a Joshua that we will serve the Lord with all of our heart, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind. Serve wholeheartedly, as if you were serving the Lord, not men. I want to thank you folks for your continued help to us over the years, and your prayer, and your gifts, your offerings. We don't write as much as we should. I try to get Peg to write more often, but you know how it is trying to get the ladies to do things sometimes. She does very well. I want to thank you publicly for your kindness and for your concern and for your love to each one of us. Sherry Gray.